How many of you here know who was Indra Prabhu? Is anybody here that doesn't know who was Indra Prabhu? I don't see any hands. Okay. For many, many years, there has been at the Krishna Balaram temple a 24-hour kirtan program in the temple room. Indra was the life of the 24-hour kirtan program. It was his creation, his maintenance, and it's still going on even after, just from his spiritual charge of love for the holy name. During Indra's lifetime here in Vrindavan, how many years did he perform 24-hour kirtan? For 24 years of his 60-something years was in Vrindavan, singing every day. He was in charge of the program. Other persons participated in the program, but every day for 24 years. And during the Kartik month, the person who was by his side playing Radanga was Govinda, sitting right here. So Indra has gone, but you just got a little sample of Indra. And the years of being by Indra's side, and the melody and the change of the everything is, it's like being with Indra again. That's my feeling I'm sharing with you. And we all come from temples, different parts of the world, but we all sing the same Damodarastakam song, just as we did. And it's commemorating a pastime that took place right here. In fact, before leaving, you go down path over here, and you'll see the utkal, or the grinding mortar, at least that's what they say, part of it. The purpose of the grinding mortar was for grinding grain and making flour, utkal. And it's that utkal that Mother Yasoda bound Krishna to after she chased him, which the Leela describes. Narrating the pastime and singing the song in the very place that it happened is described in Sri Brahma Samhita by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. If you have your dictionary ready, you can read what he's saying. That there's very special potency in what we're doing right now, in the very place where the pastime took place, remembering the pastime, describing the pastime, singing the glories of Krishna in the very place where it took, where it transpired. When you read in Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10, the place where the pastime took place is in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So up the hill is a place we're not going to go because, well, they're too greedy up there. It's just like torture, so we're not going to go there. But it's that's the place where Nanda and Yasoda lived and Krishna lived and Balaram lived during their life or their early pastimes in Gokul. That's the place. And this is the courtyard where the Leela, the Damodar Leela took place. So I'm going to narrate a little mix, mainly Jiva Goswami's description along with Srimad Bhagavatam's description of that pastime. The pastime of Damodar Leela that we celebrate for one whole month took place on Diwali day. Those of you from India, you know what Diwali is. At least, kind of. Although I tried something, a little experiment when I was in Hyderabad and asked if people knew what Diwali was, and nobody raised their hand. Well, it's a celebrate the festival of light, that's what it is. But what does it signify spiritually? Anyway, on Diwali Day, even at the time of Lord Krishna, because it celebrates Ram's return back to Ayodhya after so many years of being away, according to arrangements. He was away from home with Lakshman and Sita, and so many intrigues took place. But riding the Pushpaka Vimana, the celestial airplane of Indra, heading back to Ayodhya, it was at night. And so the whole city of Ayodhya was lit with lamps, or deepas. So, deepa, vali. Corrupted becomes Diwali. So on Diwali Day, Mother Jasoda considered, I'm hearing all these reports from all the ladies of Braja that Krishna is going and stealing butter from their storerooms. How is this possible? Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows. There's no lack of dairy products and butter and milk and ghee, and why would Krishna go somewhere else? They must be making up stories. Or if Krishna is doing that, it's because those persons who are assisting me to make these items, they don't know how to make them properly. So it's Diwali. She told them, you can go home, visit your family, spend the day with your family. I'll take care of making milk and butter for Krishna today. So they were very happy. They went on Diwali to their homes. And Mother Jasoda personally took care of all this arrangement. Here's what Jiva Goswami describes. Out of the 900,000 cows, 10,000 were very special cows. So Mother Yasoda milked personally with her own hand 10,000 cows. And then she took that milk of 10,000 cows and selected 1,000 of those 10,000 as very, very special, and she, with her own hand, fed them some of the milk. And then she milked those 1,000 cows and took the milk from those, 100 cows and fed to 10 cows. They were very, very very, very, very special cows. And she milked those cows. But not only so, she wanted the very best milk. She knew which grasses, together with which cows, produce what flavor. So she would gather grasses from different places and feed to this cows, and different grasses to feed to those cows. So she would get the best butter from the best milk. And she began churning. Now we've done this at Radha Govinda Temple. Ramabhadra, our temple president, made butter churns. It was very interesting. A stick, a pot, some paddles at the end of the stick out, and a pivot. So Mother Jasoda was churning, put the rope around the stick, and the paddle moved back and forth. And on her arms, Jiva Goswami said, she had many bangles. So as she was churning, it made a sound like kartals. Ching, ching, ching. Ching, ching, ching. And the paddles made a sound like a drum. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Ching, ching, ching. Boom, boom. Ching. She was a one-man band. And she didn't need a songbook. spontaneously she was singing the glories of Krishna and the pastimes of Krishna and the beautiful smile of Krishna and the look of Krishna in his eyes and how he was dressed and all the ornaments of Krishna as she was ching, 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 boom, boom, making her butter for Krishna. It was a Mother Jasoda concert. Meanwhile, Krishna was over there sleeping. And then Krishna woke up. And when mothers, when a child wakes up, what's the message? I'm hungry. So he wasn't walking yet, he was still crawling. So he crawled over to where the Jasoda was. She smiled and she continued to churn the butter. So he just grabbed the rope. And the message was, don't churn the butter. I'm hungry. Feed me. Stop. Feed me. So she put the rope down and sat Krishna on her lap with his legs straddling her waist, with her arms behind his back. I've seen mothers do this, but imagine if you were Mother Jasoda and the object that you're looking at is Krishna and what Mother Jasoda was feeling. With her eyes gazing on the beautiful smiling face of her son and the smiling face of Krishna, seeing the beautiful happy smile of Mother Jasoda, they were fully enlivening and satisfying one another, but he still was hungry. So she began feeding Krishna, breastfeeding Krishna. And over there was the stove where she was boiling some milk to make some milk sweets for Krishna, boiling, evaporating some of the water so it would become thick. Jiva Goswami writes, everything in the spiritual world is conscious. So the milk began to meditate. What is the use? Mother Jasoda has unlimited affection for Krishna, and Krishna has unlimited ability to accept the love of his devotees. How will I ever get a chance to serve Mother Jasoda? I might as well just give up my life. So the milk started to boil over, to jump into the fire, to give up his life. Jiva Goswami writes. Mother Jasoda saw the milk boiling over. So Mother Jasoda used her rational faculty. Rational faculty means deductive logic. This indicates that should be done. So we do that in devotional service. We prioritize things. I'm feeding Krishna. But if the milk boils over, then the milk will spoil, and that's some service to Krishna that I cannot use. And I can then come back and feed Krishna if I rescue the milk. So using her reasoning power, she set Krishna down to go rescue the milk. Then there are two different commentaries. One says the milk was thinking, oh, now I'm giving Mother Jasoda Krishna, so I'll get back in the pot. And then another commentary says Mother Jasoda was so expert. Ladies, or even men that sometimes cook, and there's something starting to boil over, what's the best way to get it to not boil over? Get a little water and sprinkle a little water on the top. Don't turn the stove down. It'll boil over. Sprinkle some little water on the top. And that's what Mother Jasoda did. And the milk simmered down. And she removed the pot from the stove. Meanwhile, little Krishna, he was very unhappy because he was hungry. And he wanted Mother Jasoda to feed him. And she left him. So he picked up a stone. And threw the stone at the milk pot. And broke the pot. So all this very special milk that was halfway into butter, broke. When the pot broke, it leaked into the ground and went all over the ground. And that wasn't enough. He was still hungry. So he went to the storeroom where Mother Jasoda kept all of her dairy products. Mother Jasoda came back, the scene of the crime. Again, she used her rational faculty. I didn't see Krishna break the pot. I see the broken pot, and I see the stone by the side of the broken pot. Krishna probably did it. She didn't know for sure, but deductively, circumstantially, Krishna did it. So now she wanted to find Krishna, but he wasn't there. But again, she used her senses. She saw little footprints because the butter Krishna had stepped in led to the storeroom. So she just followed Krishna's footprints to the storeroom. And there was Krishna eating butter to its heart's content and feeding more to the monkeys. And his eyes were moving this way and that way, fearful that he might be caught in the act of stealing butter. He who is the Supreme Lord, who is feared by fear personified, was afraid of being caught by Mother Jasoda. So Mother Jasoda saw Krishna. She picked up a small stick, not a big one, little skinny one, and started approaching Krishna, rushing towards Krishna very fast, and Krishna ran. Now, those of you that read Ishopanishad, you know that there's a verse that says that the Supreme Lord can overcome all others running. He's swifter than the mind. Yes? No question. Who can catch Krishna? Answer, nobody. He's faster than the fastest. No one can catch Krishna. But Mother Jasoda was running after Krishna. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that the flowers in her hair were falling to the ground as she was rushing towards Krishna. Jiva Goswami says the flowers were considering, why should I be an extra burden for this great devotee, Mother Yashoda? The extra weight may slow her down, so I'll jump off of her hair and fall to the ground so Yashoda can run swifter. The flowers are falling to the ground, offering their respects to Mother Jasoda. And by arrangements of Krishna, Mother Jasoda captured Krishna. He who cannot be captured was captured. And when she saw Krishna's face up close, he was crying. He was afraid of the little stick in her hand, so she threw the stick away. All this took place here. And she was thinking, I don't mind that Krishna took butter, because we have so much butter. I don't have a problem with that. But stealing, if he grows up thinking that stealing is okay, what's going to happen? And I'm his mother, it's my duty to make sure that Krishna doesn't, he learns a lesson, it's not okay to steal. This is my motherly duty. So she decided that she would teach him a lesson by restricting him. Prabhupada makes this very clear. During those times, it was a common practice. While a mother would be doing one duty, she would tie their child around the waist and tie the other end of the rope to something that wouldn't move. In her own sight, the child could see her, she could see the child, and she would continue with her duties. So she tried to do like that, bind Krishna with some rope. And you know the story. the rope was too short, by 2 inches. Again, Mother Jasoda used her reasoning faculty. She said, the rope is too short, I'll get some more rope, tie the rope together, and then it'll go around Krishna's waist. She got more rope, tied the two ropes together, it didn't go around Krishna's waist, it was short by 2 inches. So she got more rope and tied more rope to those two ropes. And she tried to put the rope around Krishna's waist and it was still 2 inches too short. The elder gopis, they came to know of this binding attempt of Mother Jasoda and they stood by Jasoda's side and said, they laughed and said, don't you understand? It's just not meant to happen. Just give it up. Just this morning, that little string around Krishna's waist and you have a little bell and you tied the bell to the string and it went around Krishna's waist very easily. But now you're trying to tie rope with so many ropes. It's just not meant to happen. Just accept it. But Mother Jasoda was saying, no, it's my duty. It was her motherly affection in service to her darling son. She continued despite the difficulty of the circumstance. And then she was able to bind Krishna. Here's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary. That initially Krishna was exhibiting two potencies. Back at Dauji Temple, I was mentioning one of them. Ichha Shakti, the will of the Supreme Lord. Ichha Shakti. Ichha means desire. Like Bhagavad Gita. Ichha Dvesha Samudhena Dvandva Mohena Bharata. Ichha. Ichha means desire, or the will of Krishna. His will was, he wanted to go back to the storeroom and get more butter, and he didn't want to be bound by Mother Jasoda. That was his Ichha Shakti. Then his Sva Shakti, his own potency. He exhibited his Svashakti, and so Mother Jasoda couldn't do anything. Who can overpower Krishna's power? No one. Even Mother Jasoda. But despite that resistance to fulfilling the motherly desire that she had, she continued to try for the purpose of serving Krishna nicely. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Krishna withdrew those two potencies and exhibited a different one. His Kripa Shakti. Kripa means mercy. With Krishna exhibiting his mercy potency and Mother Jasoda serving Krishna with great sincerity, increased sincerity. The combination of those two, Krishna was bound. The Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the 2 inches too short indicate that in any activity of devotional service, these two things are required. This is his explanation. The sincere desire and effort of the devotee to serve Krishna, and the other is Krishna's mercy. And both must be there. And when both are there, then devotional service comes out in a very nice way. Sometimes even beyond our imagination of what can come out. So many devotees have so many stories about beyond their imagination, so many things happen. Prabhupada described that about his own life, for example. Beyond his imagination, the reciprocation of Krishna came. His Kripa Shakti. And so something very, very wonderful happened. And the determination that Prabhupada had was, in his own words, I was very attached to carrying out the instructions of my spiritual master. Remember on the roof over there at Dauji Temple, whenever instruction is given by the spiritual master, the capacity to carry out is within the instruction. Prabhupada had great faith. Even if nobody came, it was the instruction. Carrying out the instruction that brought satisfaction to his heart. And that commitment and dedication to carrying out the instruction with great devotion, undeviating determination, the mercy of Krishna came in unprecedented standard. Who can say what can happen by the will of Krishna? Anything can happen by the will of Krishna. I mean, just thinking back on it, I remember when Indra tried to start his 24-hour kirtan program. Who was interested in 24-hour kirtan program at that time? It wasn't something that people, you know, okay, Indra, he's an eccentric person, he can do the 24-hour kirtan program. But he was determined. And it, you know, so many years later, it's continuing and continuing and going all over the world. The interest in kirtan, and I mean, hearing, if you have an ear for his melodies, anywhere you travel in the world, I was just without going into too many details. But we had a really nice program in Shanghai, and the devotee that was singing, it was like being in Vrindavan. He was just singing an Indra melody. Just, you know, over there. I don't know if he ever even been to Vrindavan. Just hearing the recordings and getting absorbed in the mood. And unbelievable things can happen just when there's strong faith in the service of the spiritual master, the service of Lord Chaitanya, the service of the holy name. Inconceivable things can happen. But we're not done yet, because Mother Jasoda then bound Krishna, and the other side of the rope was tied to that grinding mortar. Queen Kunti says in her prayers in the 8th chapter of Canto 1, it's inconceivable. The love of Mother Jasoda that she has for Krishna is inconceivable. And even more inconceivable is the fear of Krishna of the little stick in Mother Jasoda's hand. We're going to go to Mathura. And one of the places that we'll see is Kamsa Tila. It's the wrestling arena where Krishna, with his fist, knocked out, not only knocked out, with his fist killed Kamsa, who was the original terrorist. He was terrorizing all the powerful kings. He defeated their entire army single-handedly, stood before the king and said, "You have two choices. Either you submit to me or I'll kill you too. Which do you pick?" So powerful. That same, just 12-year-old boy, one, Kamsa's dead. How powerful was Krishna? But the little stick in Mother Jasoda's hand, and he's crying. Inconceivable. Inconceivable. Because it was an exchange of love. It's not afraid of the stick or afraid of Mother Jasoda. It's Krishna's nature. He's controlled by love. That's the person who would come to Vrindavan to learn more about and to develop deeper attachment for. He who is controlled by love. Nothing, no one is more powerful than him. But yet he is controlled by love. As we heard the first place he visited, Mother, or Srimati Radharani. She controls Krishna with her love. She's not thinking, "I can control Krishna." She's not thinking like that. But she controls Krishna by her love. And Mother Jasoda controls Krishna by her love. Just like that, Mother Jasoda is back to churning the butter. And Krishna is thinking, my devotee, Narada Muni, he made a promise. I, as the master of my devotee, Narada Muni, must fulfill his promise. His promise to Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, after cursing them to become trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, that they would then be liberated by Krishna. So I have to keep the word of my devotee. There's another quality of Krishna. He upholds the word of his devotee. So be careful what you say. Especially if you're a qualified devotee. I guess if you're not so much of a qualified devotee, you can say whatever you like. But qualified devotees must be very careful what they say, because Krishna will uphold the word of his devotee. He upheld the word of Narada, and still crawling, because he wasn't walking yet, too young to walk, he pulled the rope, and that grinding mortar that wouldn't move, moved. It got caught between two Arjun trees, and he knocked over the two twin Arjun trees. Now, I remember, as Govinda also remembers, when we were here once with Dina Bandhu, and he was describing something about Arjuna trees. Arjuna trees are, I don't know, I'm not a botanist, but he was describing Arjuna trees are very hardwood, and they have very deep roots, and it's very difficult to uproot them. Let's say in the West, I know, oak trees. It's hardwood. To make oak wood floors, because it's hardwood, it lasts. It's very strong and durable. Arjuna trees are harder than oak wood. With a deep, deep... So Krishna's pulling over the Arjuna trees wasn't like one of these little things. Big, strong. And just crawling, knocked them over. And a big crashing sound. And Nala Kuvera and Manigriva came out with folded palms, came before Krishna, offered their prayers to Krishna. Krishna blessed them. Now you can return as pure devotees, having become freed from the pride that you previously had. Not only they became free from pride, but they became pure devotees. That's the mercy of Krishna and Krishna's devotee, Narada Muni. So, it's already almost 2 o'clock and we haven't had lunch yet. So I'll just finish with this few things. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, which for us is the guide, the standards for how we observe things, how we do deity worship, how we perform rituals, how we observe things. So when it speaks of Damodar Leela, specifically it's stated that one should worship Radha along with Krishna. So when we do our Damodarastakam prayers, it's Yasoda Damodar, the Mother Yasoda binding. Damo Udara, around the waist, he's bound. Damo Udara. In that connection, there's a quote from Bhavishya Purana, Uttarakhanda portion, where a leela between Radha and Krishna is described, where Radha is waiting for Krishna to come at an appointed time and Krishna is late. When Krishna comes late, Radha is very angry. So she takes golden ropes and binds Krishna around the waist. And commemorating that pastime is Radha Damodar. Radha Damodar. We're literally observing Yasoda Damodar. And that's very nice. But we say Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara. So that's the Radha Damodar Leela. Then, so two remaining things. Sometimes in our devotional service, we know that we're supposed to do a certain something. Let's say, be attentive when chanting. Or something else. Cook a feast, or distribute books, or something. Take care of the devotees. Something. We're given some service to do. Not always, but almost always, there's some difficulty. Yes? Difficulty. Or two difficulties, or 10 difficulties, or... And you addressed some of them, and then there's some more, and there's more, and we all know what that's like. Difficulties. What to do. Remember Mother Jasoda. Not just, don't become sad, or frustrated, or angry, or get into a doership mode. Just do it more. Don't do any of those things. Fix your consciousness and devotion upon Krishna. Try to refine the purpose for which you are doing. And having done that first, then redouble your enthusiasm. One of the pastimes that I like very much is in Ram's Leela, where Hanuman has gone to Lanka to warn Sita. Ram is coming. And he can't find Sita anywhere. He looks everywhere, and he can't find Sita anywhere. And there's a beautiful scene. Somebody made a painting of this because they know I like it so much. Hanuman is on the wall surrounding Lanka, contemplating what to do. You know that moment where it's difficult, and there's this obstacle, and I have the service to do, but how am I going to do this service? Here's what Hanuman did. Like Mother Jasoda, his determination doubled. I must find Sita. He didn't become discouraged. He didn't lament. He didn't pout. He didn't go. His determination doubled. So sometimes, when that happens, remember Krishna. Fix your remembrance of Krishna stronger. Fix the purpose for which you're doing for Krishna more pure, more clear, more focused. Anyone that's done any service knows what I'm talking about. It's a very telling moment. It's an opportunity to feel the presence of Krishna more. And please know, when you do like that, Krishna is with you. Krishna doesn't abandon you. If anything, we abandon Krishna. Krishna may be testing our determination, strengthening our determination to please Him, strengthening our determination to take shelter of Him exclusively, other than our own abilities and circumstances and whatever else is going on. Just one thing. Dependence upon Krishna. Striving to please Krishna with whatever it is that Krishna has given. Become more determined. With devotion, more determined. That's such a lesson. And another from this Leela lesson is pride. We're going to hear more about it, Govardhan Leela. Krishna doesn't like pride. Mentioned this morning, Krishna doesn't like envy. Krishna doesn't like pride either. Pride spoils everything. Pride is where we have something, and we all have something, and we see that something as separate from Krishna, and so it's mine. Because it's separate from Krishna, it's mine, and I'm proud in that something. So Nalakuvera and Manigriva were proud. What were they proud of? They were sons of the King of Heaven, so they were rich. And they were proud that our father, Kuvera, he is a great devotee of Lord Shiva, so naturally we're recipients of Shiva's affection, and so we're great too. We're very dear to Lord Shiva, and we have lots of wealth. They were proud. I've said this so many times, I'll say it again, no problem. The fruits of piety plus a heart that's impure equals pride. Krishna doesn't like pride in the hearts of his devotees, and when he's very kind, he'll remove that pride from the heart of his devotee, as he did with Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, at the end of which it was pretty embarrassing standing as trees for 10,000 years, however long they were standing as trees. But by being restricted from the freedom that one may otherwise have when there's opulence and there's ability to do things, pride is gone from the heart. Then one can take, feelingly, one can take shelter of the personality of Godhead, as Nala Kuvera and Manigriva did. And they then became pure devotees.